What's you crying at? Morning, good morning, good morning. We have visitors here from back east. My family lives back east. I call them up and just start laughing. Where are you from? Are you from back east? Chicago, is it snowing there? You don't know, you don't care. I heard that. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. I'm learning how to play golf, which is a lifelong process. So I go down to Stadium Golf, which is right down the hill, and they have about, I don't know, 50 different, different little mats you can hit off of. And there's one particular mat that I like to go to because it's all the way at the end, out of the way. So you kind of concentrate on the people around you. So I went there yesterday, and there was a guy in my spot. So I was waiting for him to move, finish his thing, hitting his balls. He had like four balls left, so I sat there and waiting. He has a little child with him, 3-year-old. So we started talking about kids, and, my kid's a lot older now, but started reminiscing about when my kids were little. How many of y'all have kids, whatever, okay? You remember when they're first born, you have to do everything for them. They're just like completely helpless. Sometimes they grow out of that in a couple of years. Sometimes they never grow out of that. You got to do everything for them for their whole life. But, you got to put them in the car. Every time you go someplace, you got to pick them up, dress them, put them in the car, strap them in, get them out of the car, dress them, take them out. It's just a great thing when you could just say to your kids, get in the car. I remember that. That was such a, wow, a life. You had your life back. Then them going to the bathroom, you had the diaper stage. Remember the diaper stage? And then they can go to the bathroom by themselves. Go to the bathroom. And when you go to the bathroom, you have a little porta potty, a little plastic porta potty before they get to the plumbing toilet. And they would sit there for like a half an hour, do coloring books, play with their Barbie dolls or whatever. And I remember one time both my kids, and one was on the plastic and one was on the other toilet, and my other daughter was on the toilet, fell in. The other daughter jumps up and flushed the toilet on her while she was going around in a circle, just going down a toddy bowl. Then taking a bath. Take a bath. You never want to leave your kids alone when you take a bath. But then they get to the age where you can leave them in there. You can go in another room and do some stuff. And without fail, sometime or another, they will sneak out of the tub and start running around the house naked. Because they can feel the air on their whole body. They're like, ah! And they think they're like free because they can just air out everything. And what do you do is you get them and you tell them you can't come out of the bathroom naked. You don't want to show your privates. And you put a towel on them, put a big old towel. And then from then on, they cover themselves with this big old beach towel. They only got a body that big, and they got this big old, wedding dress towel and a big old thing on their head. And because they don't understand what that's all about, and it's our role to educate them and teach them. And when they grow older, they start to get it. It's the same thing with us and our sexuality. God gives us guidelines in the Bible about sex because he is teaching us stuff we don't really know yet. Even though we're adults, our sexuality and sex and the guidelines of sex and the dangers, et cetera, are far beyond what we really understand. We understand more than we did when we were little, but we still don't understand the big picture. And what I want to talk about today is exactly that. We're in the book of Leviticus. The key word in Leviticus is holiness. And God is telling his people, here's how you be holy in your sexual area. Now, you have to understand, God is the one who is holy. He requires us to be holy. And he's the one to tell us how to be holy. We do not tell us how to be holy. He's the one who tells us how to be holy. And he's the one who makes us holy. I was watching National Geographic last night. It was 2 hours back to back. One was on sexuality. I got the last half hour. And then the second show was on babies being born. I taped that one. That was going to be fascinating. I can't wait to go and watch it. But the first one on sexuality was all about sex, and it was good. It was insightful. But they were showing it from a biological point of view and your brain, the organs, and all the stuff that happens in your body. And it was just so fascinating. I was thinking, man, look at all that God made. I mean, when you look at the complexity of your organs and how they work and how they're connected to your brain and your hormones and your emotions and your memory and your feelings and love and jealousy and all the stuff we go through, how that is so amazing and powerful. God said, I made that. It is not by accident. And I'm the one to tell you how to use it. If you use it wrong, there's going to be consequences. I was driving down the street from my house. I live in Scripps Ranch, and there is not a Maserati dealership in Scripps Ranch that I know about anyway. Matter of fact, I don't even know where anyone is. But I know there's not one in Scripps Ranch. And there was a guy on the street right around the corner from my house. He had a Maserati. It was broke down. And I was like, that brother is in deep trouble. Because I don't know who he's calling, but they ain't close by. Because that car, you don't just call any old tow truck and come fix your Maserati. You know what God says? I'm going to give you sex, and it's going to be the bomb. Because it is the bomb. But if you use it wrong, it'll ruin your life. So I want to pray, because I know that in a room this size, and actually if there was a room with three people in it, there'd be sexual dysfunction. And sexual sin and sexual addiction and sexual deviance and sexual perversion at some point or other. And I want to pray that God would speak to you as an individual about your life and your relationship with him and your sex life. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much that you've given us this amazing gift. And thank you so much that you've given us rules and guidelines on how to use it. And I pray we would take heed to your word. And not challenge you, and not test you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple things you have to understand about sex. Sex is probably the most intimate way you can know someone. Got to be. The Bible says when two people get married, the two people become one. That's what marriage is about. And when you have intercourse, two people actually are joined as one human. That's why it's so powerful. It is not something man invented. It's not something MTV invented or tells you what it is. It is something from God, and God designed it for many reasons, one of which that two people can actually experience the oneness of marriage. It is also a metaphor or word picture of our relationship with God. When in the Bible, when a man and a woman got married, technically the woman was supposed to be a virgin. If she wasn't, they would kill her. And the evidence of a virginity is that after they consummated the marriage, they would have to show blood on a sheet to prove that she was a virgin, because if she was a virgin, she would bleed when they had intercourse. And so the blood was the symbol of her virginity, which brought honor to her family. But what that also tells us is that the intercourse was the marriage was a blood covenant. They got married, then they consummated the marriage, and it was a blood covenant. When you get saved and Christ forgives you of your sin, you and Christ become one. And it is a blood covenant. Man and woman become man and bride, husband and bride, groom and bride. When you get saved, you become part of the church, which is the bride of Christ. You are married to the Lord. It's a blood covenant. So it's a whole lot deeper than just, you know, having a physical experience or an emotional experience. So God's saying it's deeper than you think. So just trust me when I tell you don't do this. Trust me when I tell you don't do this. No matter what you hear in the community, trust me. Now, in this chapter we're going to look at, the chapter is structured after an ancient covenant or contract. And in the ancient days, when a king came in and he wanted to set the people straight, he would write a covenant. And he would do four things in his covenant. First, he would identify who he is. I'm King so-and-so. Then he would identify what he has done for the people. I did this. I did this. Then he would tell them, here are my rules. I want you to obey. And then he would say, here are the consequences if you break my rules and the blessings if you obey my rules. We're going to see the same thing in this chapter as God does with his people. Now, if you look at in your notes, number one, point number one, it says obeying God's sexual guidelines validates our loyalty to God. Everyone say loyalty. Loyalty. Say loyalty. Loyalty. Look at verse one. Verse 1 says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. Everyone say, Lord your God. What God is saying here is that this is my name. I am the Lord. You remember me? My name. I'm Miles. I'm Jim. I'm John. and I am your God. What he's trying to say is that I have relationship with you. I'm not just this all high almighty God. I have relationship with you, and I'm going to tell you these things in the context of my relationship with you. A covenant was always made between people who had relationship. So God is saying, I have a relationship with you. I've given you this amazing thing called sex. And as your Lord, as your friend, as your Savior, as your deliverer, I want to tell you how to use it. Number two, look in your notes. Number two, it says, obeying God's sexual guidelines displays our the holiness of God. Everyone say holiness. Holiness. Say holiness. Holiness. Holy means to be set aside for divine purpose. Holiness means that God says, I want you to live this way according to my rules for my purpose. Look at verse 3. It says, according to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you used to be, you shall not do. According to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. What God is saying is that, you remember where you came from? Don't do what they did. You know where I'm taking you? Don't do what they do. I'm the one who delivered you. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one who's going to bring you to the promised land. And I'm telling you, don't do what those people did. What did those people do? One, incest was a common practice in both cultures. Bestiality was practiced. Homosexuality was practiced. They had male and female prostitutes. They would have sex and their worship to the fertility god and sacrifice the babies to the fertility god, hoping their crops would grow. And what God is saying, those people who did that stuff where you came from, don't do that. The people where you're going, do that. Don't do that. Do what I say. In our culture today, San Diego, California, United States of America, you know what God's saying? Don't do what they do. Do not be politically correct. Be biblically accurate. Do not worry about what the people out there are saying. Don't worry about what the media says is right. Don't worry about what they do in different neighborhoods or different cities around the United States or San Diego or California. You be mindful to what I tell you. Now, in our culture, because we live in a perverse generation, we live in a sexually perverse nation where sex outside of marriage is a given. Adultery is common. Homosexuality is not only acceptable, it's endorsed and taught to your children in your elementary schools. It is taught as normal. Cross-dressing, cross-gender is taught in our schools as normal. It's endorsed as normal. Now, they're talking about gays being married. Now, I know some of y'all in here going, what's wrong with gays being married? Let's back up. Yeah, what's wrong with being gay? Now, you have to understand, it doesn't, my opinion means absolutely, it's amazing that y'all remember that, but you won't remember the other stuff I tell you. Well, you got that right on your brain. Please, my opinion means absolutely zero. What the Bible say? And you got to look what the Bible says. And what God is saying here is, do not do what you see everybody else doing. That is not the basis of your truth. Should never be the basis of your truth. The basis of your truth is always the Word of God. Do you know that half the people get married get a divorce? You know the Bible says God hates divorce? So what are you going to pick? You're going to pick the community or you're going to pick God? If you get married, do not let divorce be an option for you. When you get married, be sure that you know I am committed for life. And to do that, you better really know that person. And to really know that person, you better know that person for years. I've been married for 22 years in September. And my wife and I are still getting to know each other. Thank God it's all good. Thank God. But we knew each other for 4 years before we got married. And my point is that don't look at the world as your example. God is saying, look at me as your example. Number three in your notes says, obeying God's sexual guidelines protects the blessed life offered by God. In other words, if you do what I say, you will not jeopardize the blessing I have for you. If you don't do what I say, you put yourself at risk. High, high risk. Look at verse 24. Let's look at some words here. Verse 24 says, I'm gonna have you underline these words. Do not defile. Everyone say defile. You can underline that word. Do not defile means to make yourself unclean with any of these things. For by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. Underline casting out. Say casting out. Verse 25, for the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of the iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. Say vomit. Vomit. Say vomit. Vomit. Vomit is nasty. Someone say amen. The last time I vomited, I was like 4. But I still remember, it was long, I was a little kid. And I remember because it was so nasty. And I just remember going, this is not right. When you vomit, your stomach, your body says, I'm done. I don't want this. And whether you're ready or not, here it comes. Blah, 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 Earl. You know, I had all the different names for it. I was Earling and vomiting, or, you know, Ralph and Ralph. I don't know if y'all heard those words before. Ralph or Earl. You know what God says here? Is that if a community or a city or a state or a nation is sexually immoral to the degree that I decide is too much, I will vomit the people out. Now, I want you to ask yourself a question. Have you ever read in the Bible or seen on the news a city that endorses sexual immorality have its people vomited out? God does not play. Or you could see a city and go to a city where sexual immorality is so rampant, you could just sense the spiritual darkness of that city. Because God's judgment will be on it. Why? Because God says, do not do this because you are profaning my name and you are profaning people to the core of their being. Because I created this sex so people can, their souls would connect. And when you damage that connection and you abuse that responsibility, a very high penalty comes with it. Now, it's very subtle. When I say very subtle, it could begin so innocently with two people dating and sleeping together because they're not married. And all of a sudden, you break up. And guess what? You date someone else, you're going to be that much quicker to jump into bed on average. Date someone else, jump into bed. Next thing you know, you done date 7 people. Who done been with 7 people? Who done been with 7 people? Next to the person you've been with, they've been together. The chain is all hundreds of people, and that's all in bed with you. And all of a sudden, you and your body and your privacy and your sexuality is no big deal. And God just broke down everything your mother tried to teach you when you were little to protect you. And that's very subtle. The other thing is just straight up incest, straight up rape, homosexuality, and how you can put your soul in a position for God to say, I'm going to reject it. We're going to see that at the end of the message, how damaging it can be to you. Look at number 4 in your notes. Number 4 says, obeying God's guidelines sometimes means fleeing sexual immorality. Everyone say fleeing. Forrest had to run. Run, Forrest, run. In your mind, here's what I want to challenge you. In your mind, you have to think, okay, is there anything in my life that is out of line with God? Let's read some of those things. Look at verse 6. There's 4 different categories he goes over. 4. One is incest. Verse number 6. Now, none of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin. Say near of kin. Near of kin. That's a relative to him to uncover his nakedness. Uncover his nakedness means to have sex. Now, I don't know that any of us in here would argue that incest is wrong, but I'm going to tell you, if you ever doubt it's wrong, you know how you can prove it? 100% of the people who are victims suffer. You know, sex was not given to us to suffer by. It was given to us as a blessing. And 100% of the people who do it know they're wrong. I was watching a Dateline special recently, Sexual Predators on the Internet. And they had these undercover cops posing as teenagers, 13, 14-year-old girls, and boys, by the way. And these predators would get online, start chatting, and they would say, listen, come over to this address house and we can, you know, get it on. In 3 days, they arrested 51 people. In 3 days, they arrested 51 people. That's over 16 people per people a day. And if you look at how many hours, I mean, how many hours in a day, that's like boom, 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 boom. And every single one of those people they arrested, they would drive up, walk into the house, beer, condoms, whatever, and they would walk in, and the kid, or the cop posing, the kid would say, I'll be right out. And the man, it was always a man, came in the house looking around, the cameras looking at him. Okay, I'll be right here in the kitchen waiting. And then the Dateline guy would come out. Said, hey, how you doing? Oh, whoa, 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 have a seat. The guy, they would always sit down. I think 90% of them sat down. And they would talk to the guy. Say, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm just here selling a house. I came here to meet this person. You know how old they are? Oh, you're 20-something years old. That's what they told me. They got the emails all typed out. Right, they say, busted. And every single one of them was embarrassed and shamed. Why? Because it's wrong. And how do they know? It's in our heart. God said, don't do it. Every single one of them knew it was wrong, and every single one of those victims experiences pain sometimes for their whole life. What was ironic about this is that every one of them, when they left the house after they did the interview, the cops was waiting outside. They arrested them in the driveway because they were in a trailer in the next house driveway. They would just wait. Pedophile would walk out, and they would get arrested right there. Two and three pedophiles would drive up to the house at the same time and wait. And one guy drove by, saw a dude getting arrested in the driveway, waited for him to get taken away, then he went in the house. And they said, you saw the guy getting arrested? How? He said, well, I thought he was from something else. And, okay, woo, woo. And one or two of the guys who got arrested saw the program, because this was like the third time they ran this program, and it was a different, it wasn't the same program rerun, it was a whole different sting operation. And one of them got busted in that sting. Got again. Why? This is what God's saying. God's saying, if you do it, you're going to get so hooked on it, you won't want to be able to stop. Don't do it. Don't think you're getting away with it, because you're not. The more you do it, the deeper you get, and the more in bondage you get. Matter of fact, if you look in your lesson plan at the bottom, there should be two websites, xxxchurch.com and Integrity something. Y'all see that? Those are two websites that you can go to for accountability. If you're struggling with pornography, or you know someone who's struggling with pornography on the website, on the internet, or if you suspect and you can follow the directions, and they will send a message to whoever you want every time you visit a website that has pornography on it. So that's for you, whoever you want to, it's up to you, however you want to use that. And I encourage you, put it on there. Even if you don't struggle with it, put it on there. Just accountability, because once you get in and you start dabbling, it's so hard to get out. It's so hard. I have a couple of friends, sexual addictions, and one guy my age, NFL, blah, 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 sitting in the restaurant, bawling, crying. I wish this on nobody. Family, two kids. Thank God God saved his family. Thank God he has a saint for a wife. Thank God. Because other than that, he lost everything. Reputation, everything. Devil ain't playing. Look at verse 20. Verse 20. It says, moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Obviously, that's adultery / fornication, sex outside of your marriage relationship. Is that wrong? It has been wrong since day one. It will be wrong until the day you die. Our culture does not decide what is right and wrong in the Bible. God decides that. Now, I know people who are 40 years old. They've been married once. They got a divorce, and they get married again. And so, you know, they already been there, done that. And, you know, why do I have to? You know what? You're just as wrong as a teenager doing it. It don't matter. You're still wrong, and you're still going to reap a penalty. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Do whatever you got to do. Don't be alone with a woman if she ain't in your family. Don't put yourself in that position. Don't be going out after work to happy hour with these females that ain't your wife. All you're doing is playing with fire. And fire, Bible says you can't screw fire in your lap and not be burned. You will be burned. Oh, yes. And the devil, is so slick. Oh, fellas, he'll have honeys telling you all kind of stuff. Oh, you so manly. You're not like my husband. Oh, run, Forrest, run. Run. I'd rather have a woman think I was rude than take that any further. Think I'm rude. Don't like me. Go to another church. I'm fine. Just as long as ain't nothing happen, because you ain't worth it. And I ain't worth it to them. It ain't worth it. The devil makes you believe it is, though. But it ain't ever is. It's not. It's not. Look at verse 22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. He's talking to men. Now, in our culture, homosexuality is basically accepted as normal. And I've been on, shows discussing the gay marriage issue and, trying to argue whether gays should be married. I'm like, homosexuality is wrong. Forget the marriage thing. We got to back up. Now, again, my opinion don't mean anything. It has nothing to do with me, because I didn't create sex, but neither did they. God did. I was at a prison ministering. And in the prison, they had this big yard. It's like maybe the size of 2 football fields. And it was all fenced off in different sections. And usually it's just wide open. So I asked the guard, why is this fenced off like this? He said, well, a couple of years ago, some inmates stabbed 9 guards with knives that they had dipped in human feces. Now, you say ill because it is nasty, but really what is bad about it is that human feces is poisonous. It's poison. If it gets in your skin, in your blood, you'll get sick. It's poison. It's not just nasty because it's doo-doo. you put doo-doo on a stick and chase people around. Oh, doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. I mean, little kids, you do that. Flicking on, a little dog doo-doo. Like you ain't never been there. Come on. How many fellas did that? Thank you, thank you, thank you. How many ladies did that? See. God, okay. We got a few honest people in here. If it gets in your skin and your blood, you will get sick. Here's what the devil wants you to believe. Matter of fact, that's why it smells bad. Because you're supposed to stay away from it. It's like science for dummies. If they haven't figured out that it looks bad, and they haven't figured out that I put it in the back, let me make it smell bad so I stay away. I'm going to give you all kind of warnings. Don't come near me. But you know what people want you to believe? That you should have intimate relations with the place it comes out of. And the reason that there are so many diseases related to homosexuality is because of that. It's simple biology. And there's so many physiological reasons why that is completely unforbidden and dangerous for your health. Ask any physician. Go to any emergency room in a gay community and talk to any physician, and they'll tell you. If sin is wrong, there will always be a consequence. Write that in your brain. That's the easy way to prove it. If you want to disprove God, just sin and watch if nothing happens. It's very simple. You don't think adultery is wrong? Go ahead and do it. Watch what happens. You don't think homosexuality is wrong? Just go do it. See what happens. Do you know that if you're 20-something years old and you're a gay man and you're gay, you will die 20 years sooner than if you're not? Just like if you're an alcoholic, you'll die 20 years sooner if you're 20-something years old, because over that time it just wears you out. God's not putting these things in the Bible to spoil people's life. It's putting in to protect them. Now, we get a guilt trip put on us because we're gay bashing. It ain't about gay bashing. It ain't got nothing to do with the people. It's all about the behavior. Because there's gay people who are very productive and there's gay people who are knuckleheads. There's heterosexual people who are productive and there are heterosexual people who are knuckleheads. Ain't got nothing to do with that. But it has to do with, is this right behavior? Do we want to teach our kids this behavior? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we'll end with this. The reason it is important for you to know these things is because when you are confronted with the opportunity to stand up for what is right, it is important for you to know what God says is right. And if you are going to say something contrary to the Bible, it is important for you to have evidence. And in Old and New Testament evidence, the evidence of the internal conviction in our heart, the physiological design of our body, all of those say the same thing as it has to do with not only homosexuality, but fornication and adultery and incest and rape. See, you and I will say rape is wrong. Why? You will say because people hurt result of it. That's your opinion. But your opinion means nothing. It absolutely means nothing. Now, it may be common sense, but what does common mean? That God put it on your mind. But you know what? Your common sense can be warped. The devil and society can warp your common sense where all of a sudden you accept things that offend God. And you accept them as normal. Matter of fact, there's probably things in your life that if you said, should I do this, that you do on a common basis, that you tell little white lies all the time. It's wrong, but you don't. It doesn't bother you because you could justify it because your heart is hard to some degree. You think lustful things, prideful things, arrogant things in your mind all the time, and it's okay for you because it's not that bad. Well, guess what? Your God conscience is dulled, and so it doesn't bother you, so you keep doing it. But it's still wrong, just as wrong as if your God conscience was very sensitive. And so the same thing can happen with this stuff. Well, you know, I guess, you know, they're living together. It's okay. They're going to get married. It's wrong. Now, it may be accepted by our culture. And when God said, don't do what they did in Egypt. Don't do what they did in Canaan. You do what I say because I have a blessing for you. I am the inventor of these things, God says. I am the one who tell you. Like I used this analogy a few weeks ago. If you went and bought a nice new Mercedes, black on black leather, spinners, all this stuff, and they said, don't put sand in your gas tank, you wouldn't say, oh, man, I was getting ready to go to the beach right now. Why are you going to mess up my fun? You would say, of course, because I don't want to ruin the car, because that's how the car is designed. That's all this is. And your argument to somebody is, who would design sex? No gay person designed it. No heterosexual person designed it. God designed it. Simple as that. I would challenge you in TV shows you watch, in the commercials you watch, in the magazines you read, the internet sites you go to, that the devil's just desensitized you a little bit at a time, little bit at a time, little bit at a time. Before you know it, you're in this vulnerable position in a very secluded place, and all of a sudden you're in bed with somebody you shouldn't be with, and your whole life is gone. Families shot, ruined. Because of one hoochified experience. Ain't no hooch that good, I'm telling you. Just speaking the truth. Romans chapter 1. Hooch is male and female, by the way. Don't be reading into it. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, since God created the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. This one verse is so powerful. I'm going to teach a whole message on this one verse. But basically what it's saying is ever since God created the world, it's not an accident. His invisible attributes, what are they? His wisdom, his power, his creativity, his artistic abilities, his ability to strategize and plan and coordinate and design, his power, his love, on and on. All these invisible attributes of God are so clearly seen. You ever wonder why you go to the beach and when the sun sets, everybody stops what they're doing to watch this ball of fire go into the water? You ever wonder why that is? Because you are looking at the invisible attributes of God. Amen. A little flower, a little child. They're so cute. They're so pure and innocent because God created them. And all the invisible attributes, every time I talk about Discovery Channel, Animal Planet, all these animals, why? Because they represent the invisible attributes of God. That God could make a rhinoceros powerful, so powerful, to run through that wall, and all it eats all day is grass. You ever think about that? Grass! Do you know that it's little thing right there, with the big thing, he got that little horn thing? Do you know that that is made of the same thing your fingernail's made of? And it could bust right through the side of your car, and all it eats, that means that his biology converts grass to all of that. A horse, one of the most majestic animals on the planet Earth, that's just my opinion, means absolutely, but a horse, man, y'all just like ready to jump on that one. Nothing. Nothing. Golly. Give some brother respect. But this big old horse. Whenever I'm not around horses a lot, whenever I'm around them, I just love to hit their chest. They're so strong. And they're not fazed by it. It's just like, boom. And all they eat is grass. That God could take those little blades of grass and some water and make that big, strong animals. That is the invisible attributes of God's wisdom. Do you know that a jellyfish has no blood, no bones, and no brain? 98% water, and yet they will jack you up. What's up with that? You know the amazing thing about jellyfish? It's so unbelievable to me. We went on vacation last year to the Caribbean. My sister lives in the Caribbean. So we went to see her, and my daughter and I were on this kayak. We were way out. It was like, I don't know, 20 feet deep, and my mask fell in the water. So I jumped in the water to get the mask because the mask was going away, and all these jellyfish started biting me. I'm talking about they were tearing me up. My eyes were watering, my nose was watering. I started, and my daughter, who was in the kayak, the boat started to go away. And I'm like thinking, this is not good. And I'm thinking, the mask, life. And the whole, it took us like a half an hour to get back to where we were, like a half hour out. And my whole body's thinking from water. From 98% water, animals tore me up. What's amazing about jellyfish, you ever see them? They just go, the current takes them. So they just kind of, wherever the current's going. But yet, how do they eat? How do they mate? How do they do what they do? God said, you know what? It's my genius. Anyway, that's the verse. I don't want to get too much of it. Look at verse 20. I lose it on that one. Verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because people knew God, and they knew God was there, they rejected him. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. They are people, educated people with degrees, who will tell you, here's what the books say, and they are fools, because they reject God. Right. There is no God. We have evidence. And God is saying, you are absolutely wrong. Man came from an ape. You did not come from an ape. You didn't come from an ape. You may look like one. Look at verse 23. And they exchanged the glory of incorruptible God into the image of an incorruptible man. Birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. In other words, instead of worshiping God, we're going to worship animals or created things. Verse 24. Everyone say, therefore. Because people rejected God and the evidence of God, and by the way, it says that the evidence that I exist in nature is so crystal clear that you are without excuse. In other words, if you study what I made, my friends, go take any book. This is very simple because this will show you how you could just blow you out of the water. Go get any book and just look up DNA. Just do that. Just go study what DNA is. And you will see that nobody, it is so complex. We as a human race do not get it. Yet we would say no one made it. That's so backwards. Do you know you have cells in your body that actually manufacture, molecules in your body that actually manufacture other molecules, that transport molecules, that transport electricity? Do you have electricity running through your body? Where'd that come from? I mean, do you know you have the cells make hormones, and when cells die, other cells eat them and get them out of your body? There's all these processes going on in your body like a very complex factory, and yet someone wants to tell you that nobody made that? That it's just accident? That's foolishness. Foolishness. And it says it right here. It says it right here. Look what it says in verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which is due. Two things I want to say about this. What God is saying here is that if you want to reject me, go ahead. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn you over to your own vileness. Go ahead. Now, what's scary about that? What's really scary about that? See, when you sin, you have shame. Because God convicts you. The more you sin, and the further away from God you get, the less shame you'll have. But you don't want to be in a position where God says, now I'm going to not give you any shame. I'm going to turn you over. And when you sin in the most intimate way you can sin, which is sexual, and when you take sin into the core of your being and offend God to the most intimate way he created you, then you suffer the most intimate, strongest penalty. And what God is saying here, he'll turn you over to a debased mind, to a sinful heart. In other words, he'll just back off from your life. You do not want that on anybody. And when I talk about gay people, now, a lot of them gay people, they don't want to hear this. And you know what? There's almost nothing you could do for some of them because they've been turned over. But there are some who are still kind of innocently, is this right? Especially young kids. We don't want them to get to this point. I don't care how politically correct you want to be. Please humble yourself and risk being an outcast to save them from being turned over to a debased mind. If someone says, we had a guy here today. I like going to rock, except this one thing, this gay thing, and he didn't know I was talking about this. And you know what? That's fine. But you know what, though? If someone can leave and go, I wonder if that's true. Great. Because we do not want anybody to suffer the penalty that the Bible repeatedly says they will. That's the point. And so instead of you saving your reputation and being politically correct, you want to throw out a lifeline to people knowing that God has said he's going to punish them. It doesn't matter whether you think it's right or wrong or fair. That's your opinion. And your opinion means nothing. Let me tell you that for myself. It means nothing. We want to say, here's what God says. Now, this is the New Testament. God says it in the Old Testament. He says it in the New Testament. He says it in your biology. He says it in your psychology. He says it in your physiology. Right. It's everywhere. If sin is sin, there will always be a consequence, and that's how you can test it. Let me leave you with this thought. My challenge is for you to search your heart and ask yourself, do I want to be holy to God's standard or my own? Am I more concerned with not offending people or God? The homosexual issue is very sensitive because we all have friends and family that are gay. And if you're saying, I want to side with my friend than God, then you now make that choice informed. I would hope you would look at your friend and your family and say, I don't want them to risk this and start praying for them. Because that's what's at stake. That's what's at stake. And that's why we talk about it, and that's why I challenge you to talk about it and challenge you to know about it. Start praying for those people. Because if God has turned them over, it's going to be very difficult to get them back. Because God is like this, throw his hands up. He's going to be very difficult to get them back. I had a guy, a friend of mine, who was, he was a gay man. He was a very close friend of mine. And he was trying to turn around, but he had been in films and surgeries ever since he was a little kid. He was ruined to the point where he would never be, if you ever saw him, he could never be to where you would think he was a masculine man because of what physically he had been through. But he so bad wanted to get out. He ended up dying at a very young age, relatively speaking, because of all the disease he had. And this dude was hilarious. Me and him were boys, because I met him when he was trying to get out. And he was, you know, quick to bust on people. That dude was sharp. I would, you know, we got to the point where we would just bust on each other, and he was good. And he was funny. But he was also so far, the devil had taken him so far from what we would say was normal, to even when he got saved and was praying and trying to stay straight, it was such an uphill battle for him. And he ended up dying, and I believe he's in heaven because he got saved. But the devil destroyed him, and he was a nice dude. It has nothing to do with our gay people bad. It has to do with what the devil is doing to them. And our kids, if anything, that you pray for your children. Because in junior highs and in our school system, this is normal. Cross-dressing is normal. Cross-gender is normal. And if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what can. To think you're 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, 10-year-olds can be walking around thinking that I can go into a boy's bathroom if I'm a girl, and I could wear a dress if I'm a guy, and that's normal. That's our society. You know what God says? Don't do what they do in Egypt. Don't do what they do in Canaan. Be my holy people. And you have to decide who you're going to be. You can't do both. You have to either be God's person or the world's person. And guess what? The world is going in the opposite direction really fast. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'll end with this. Do you know why one of the reasons the Muslim countries hate us so much? Islam is wrong. Okay? Allah is the moon god. We did a whole study on that. If you want to get the tapes, that's a whole other story. So what I'm getting ready to say doesn't mean I endorse Islam. But I do respect many things about them. One is their commitment to what they believe. They are committed. Do you know why they're riding around the world? Because it was a cartoon of Muhammad. Do you know how many cartoons they have of Jesus Christ and we don't do jack about it? They have one cartoon and worldwide, thousands of people are protesting. Why? Because they love their prophet. But the reason they don't like us is because of our sexual immorality they don't want in their cities. I don't blame them. They don't want alcoholism. They don't want our pornography. They don't want our hoochified clothing. They don't want that stuff. Why? Because it's sinful. And you know what? They're right. Now, do I justify what they do? No. But are they right about that? Oh, yes. I was in the airport with Michael. He works, he's from Iran. His family's Muslim. And we're in this airport, and this girl walked by, high heels, hot pants, everything was halter. It was three H's, heels, halter, and hot pants. Click, 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 click. Voila! And we just look at each other like, where'd she come from? We're at the airport. We're on the strip club, whatever, in the strip, whatever. And I looked at her and I said, what would happen in Iran? He said, oh, no. They would run, cover her up, possibly beat her up. That is absolutely forbidden. Now, do I endorse that behavior? That is not the point at all, and I don't. But I would say this. There's a line they draw, and there is no negotiating. And it is biblical that there should be a line like that. When we were in Israel, I stopped in the old city in Israel. It has four quarters, a Jewish quarter, a Muslim quarter. I was in the Muslim quarter talking to some Muslims, having conversation. It was so much fun. These guys, you know, 20-something years old, and I was asking them questions about their culture. And I said, you guys have sex before you get married? Which I know they don't. He goes, no. I said, what would happen? He goes, well, in certain towns, we would get killed. I said, you kidding me? No, you go to this country over here, blah, 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 and they kill you. But we don't do that. There's no way. You have to wait till you get married. Now, do some of them do it? I met another guy who said, well, you know, I'm a player, man. You know, I was like, yeah, he's undercover. My brother doesn't know it. That's what he told me. My brother doesn't know it. Then he says to me, do you have a daughter? I want you hooked, your daughter, up with my brother. I said, brother, what are you, fool? I look like you. My point, they have guidelines. Don't let the devil deceive you because you live in America and we have a relationship with God based on grace. You can do what you want. And here's the payoff, because the devil will tell you, you're missing out on what your friends are getting. Here's the payoff. If you watch people who sin, there's always a consequence. If you watch people who obey, there's always a blessing. It takes time sometimes. Both. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you reap death. It will come. If you sow to the spirit, of the spirit you reap life. If I ever cheat on my wife, one, I know I will get caught. And believe me, I believe that God will catch me before something happens. But even if for some reason I got away with it once, I wouldn't get away with it. I'd go crazy with guilt. I would get busted. There's just no way I would get away with it. And neither will you. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for guidelines. And Lord, I pray that the people who were offended today or who were offended listening to this tape would stop and ask themselves, what does the Bible say? Because just as my opinion means nothing, their opinion means nothing. What does the Bible say? And if we don't believe the Bible, then we can't say we're Christian. Because the Bible defines Christianity. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a merciful God and you give people opportunity to repent. I want to challenge all of you as we're praying to pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Every single person here with me, in your heart, not out loud to yourself. Just pray, dear God, search my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. Cleanse my mind. Give me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.